All right, welcome. We're going to have an activity session, and this activity session will seem very similar to a teaching session. So but that's just the way things work. We have activity sessions and teaching sessions, and I had 10 teaching sessions lined out, and we had the number 10, and 10 seemed like a nice round number. And so even though this is the longest of the activities, this is our 45-minute activity session. We're going to cut that down just slightly here for this morning. But as a follow-up to what we had last hour, as a follow-up to VMI and the idea of missions and the recognition that our form of teaching is not American. Our form of teaching is not us and our culture. And when we send missionaries over, we're not trying to turn them into us. All right. But what we are doing is we are taking our form of teaching to which we are committed, and we are observing that whether it's a Filipino culture or Ukrainian culture or Nigerian culture or what have you, none of that matters because these cultures we're talking about are human. And what we have in Christ is divine. What we have in Christ is our new nature. And this door opened up for us with Grace Notes that I'm going to invite Steve to come in and speak here in just a moment on this. Steve is the pinch hitter for Warren Dowd, and I'll be explaining that in a moment here as well. But this door opened up with Austin Bible Church because we've had Grace Notes now for years. And Grace Notes is on the website. It was the ministry of Warren Dowd and became a ministry of Austin Bible Church. And it's all over the country, or all over the world, believers that are taking these Bible studies and filling out their quizzes and submitting their emails and getting the next lesson and so forth. And what happened, and I don't want to give it all away, but what happened was it just exploded. And we end up with pastors in all these countries that are not only taking this course themselves, but they're using it to train other pastors. And they're finding that this is now better than any training they've ever had in their lives. And it's they're embracing it as if this is the best thing that they've ever come across for their ministries. And so we got real prayerful and said, wait a minute, this is overwhelming. You know, how do we wrap our arms around this? What's going to happen with this? And specifically, what's going to happen when Warren's not leading Grace Notes anymore? Okay, we're talking about age and handing it off to the next generation. All right, well, what's the next generation of Grace Notes going to be? We realized that Grace Notes is about to become something it has not been prior till now. It's going to become something more, something different, a full-scale missionary organization, or we don't know what it's going to be. But the Lord does, and that's the best part. So we want to stay faithful. We want to keep our eyes open. We want to see who's going to step up? Who's going to be in the next generation? I believe Steve's going to be a part of that. I believe Austin Bible Church is going to be a part of that. It may be my son may have a part of that. We don't know yet. We're simply praying about it, and we wanted to use this presentation to make it known and to give it to other churches, other pastors, other believers, so you can join us in praying for what Grace Notes is about to become. All right? So, our speaker this morning is Steve Arnold, and I was asking him a few minutes ago, how do I introduce you? Who is Steve Arnold? Steve Arnold is married to Warren Dowd's daughter. So he married Joy Dowd. Now Joy Dowd is Joy Arnold and has been for some time.
32 years.
Okay, well, that's long enough. All right, so in any event, is there another way to introduce him besides Warren Dowd's son-in-law? Well, I guess that works. So Steve, come and report to us, please. Tell us what Grace Notes is doing throughout all of Africa.
You bet. Thank you, Bob. And first of all, I want to thank Austin Bible Church. And it seems rather odd that I would be presenting your church's ministry to the church. But then there are other guests and stuff here, so I understand that. And I'm very happy to be here, and I appreciate the hospitality and the invitation to speak. And as Bob had said before, Warren is my father-in-law and has been for 32 years. If you know Warren, it was quite a humbling experience to call him on the phone and ask his permission to marry his daughter about 32, almost 33 years ago, I guess, at this point. And I was shocked when he said yes. I just didn't think I measured up somehow. Anyway, oh well. Only time tells those things. But let's see. Warren is in Oregon at this point in time with his brother and sister. His brother-in-law did pass away, Phil Paschke, who was a believer in Jesus Christ. His whole family they're all strong believers. And so he was called up there. He knew that Phil was sick. And about 2 weeks ago, he said, "Steve, would you be willing to come down to Austin? And I'll tell you just a little bit about what I do secularly, and that is I'm a certified public accountant in the state of Oklahoma, and I'm an enrolled agent. Now, I don't want anybody to get uncomfortable, because that doesn't mean I'm a secret agent. That doesn't mean I'm a government agent. But all that means is I'm a tax specialist according to the federal government. That's all that means. But that's what I do. And there was a significant event that happened earlier this week. That was October the 15th, which is the real deadline for filing income taxes, not April the 15th, as the government says. Anyway, so I said, "Hey, when is the conference?" "October the 17th. "Oh, excellent. Sure, I'll come down." And so here I am today. Well, what I want to do is tell you a little bit about what's going on with Grace Notes, and you've heard a little bit already. I want to give you a little bit of the history of Grace Notes. I want to focus on this explosion in ministry training centers, principally in Africa. And I think we could understand intuitively that Grace Notes, being written in English, is going to have more effect in English-speaking countries. And fortunately, a lot of the continent of Africa there are English-speaking people because of the British influence in that continent in times past, in history. So we'll look at what's going on in Africa as a whole. We'll look at these training centers. I want to pick out just a few of the countries, and I've got some letters, because better than anything that I could communicate, English is not their first language, so I had to kind of dress it up. But I'll give you a feel for the impact of Grace Notes and these Bible training centers in these pastors' lives better than anything that I could possibly do. Then we're going to talk about our goals. And, Proverbs says that man makes his plans, but the Lord orders our steps. And we're in total humility and subjection to God's leading in this. There's something going on, something that hasn't been going on, and we literally pretty much have a tiger by the tail. And so we need all the support, the prayer support, financial support, whatever God leads you to do to be able to handle what is going on, especially in Africa. I think that it's important for me, and I wish I have time to have a personal conversation with Bob Thompson, because he doesn't know it, because Bob and I don't know each other at all. But so many of those missionaries and stuff I've known over the years. There's one in particular that really stands out above all the others. I took a mission trip in 2009 to Ghana at the request of James Owusu, and I stayed at their home, James and Helena Owusu. Wonderful, wonderful believers, and had an opportunity to teach two groups. He said, "Can you come?" And there's a young man there teaching a Bible training center, and he needed a break. "Can you come give him a break?" I said, "Sure." It changed my life. I've been on many mission trips. I've been in doctrinal churches for decades. But the life changer was going to Ghana and ministering to a group of pastors in the morning and to his church in the evening for just over 2 weeks. And then we went out into the villages and did some evangelism. And it's like I told Bob, I didn't want to come back to the United States as a Christian, because I know what was going to happen to me when I came back here. You slip back into your old habits. And anyway... So my point in telling you that is that I'm an eyewitness. Just like the disciples who walked with Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, I am an eyewitness to what Bible teaching will do. This form of teaching that brings us all together will do, not can do, but is being done in Africa. And the challenges that these people face, and they certainly deserve our support. So, Grace Notes, what is it? Let's start in our PowerPoint presentation. It is an online ministry. It's free of charge. It's grace-oriented. It distributes for free, verse-by-verse, expositional studies, historical studies, topical studies, and it's all organized and there for anyone who has access to the Internet. Surprisingly enough, even in deepest, darkest Africa, in most of the cities of any size, they have Internet cafes. It would be archaic by our standards today, but they do have Internet access. And so God is using this technology to reach out to deepest, darkest Africa with this kind of teaching, this form of teaching. All right. It's used for basic training. Warren, as an educator himself, has organized it into curriculum that pretty much parallels a Bible college, I would say, maybe a little bit stronger than that. It's interesting how he's done that. Five or six units will make up, in essence, like a semester of college, and so he's got a total of, I think, six of these semesters already on the Internet. And Grace Notes supports ministry training in not just Africa, but all over the world. But principally, this year, the explosion has been in Africa. So the history of Grace Notes, and I'll just make this pretty brief, because can any of us remember 1994 and something called the World Wide Web? Can you put yourself back to when PCs were DOS-based? Oh, excuse me. I promised to stay behind the podium and not wander. Well, yes, I think some of us here can remember that. Before Windows ruled the world and all that. And well, Warren is a very technical kind of person, and he has a background with computers, has always been interested in computers. And so he used this interest and the teaching that he'd received and also been given for years to start with an email group. This is how Grace Notes started, with an email group, chat group. And he sent out, would anybody be interested in some topical Bible studies? And he got like 450 responses. So the first two topical lessons that he sent out to this email group was one on depression and one on what the Bible says about sex. So that sold. And they liked it. And then they said, do you have anything else? Well, Warren had taught on his own the book of Titus. So he already had that. He had it in 10 lessons. It didn't have quizzes at that time. But he put that up on there, and he got even more response. And then they said, do you have anything else? Well, he was working full-time for a defense contractor. And he said, put out a request among doctrinal pastors that he knew. Do you have anything that I could put out on the Internet? It just so happens that it was my pastor at the time, Dan Hill, at Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa, who stepped up first, and he offered Warren his Romans series, and then he followed that up with Ecclesiastes. Well, the ball just kept rolling and rolling and rolling, so that today, as we speak, there are 48 books of the Bible, verse-by-verse studies on Grace Notes. There are 375 doctrinal and historical studies and word studies to support the Bible studies. And Warren is continually upgrading that as we speak. He's retired now. I don't know if it's just a matter of timing or what, but he retires and then this thing just starts exploding. I don't know. Maybe God figured, Warren, you got more time on your hands now, so... anyway, that's just the way that it's been going. Let's go to Africa. Oh, before we do that, I want to give a shout out to the contributing pastors, which includes Bob Bolander here at Austin Bible Church, Drew Freeman, who bagged us today, but he fortunately sent us Bob Thompson, and I go way back with Drew, Dan Hill, who used to be my pastor, And this needs to be upgraded because he's no longer the pastor of Southwood Bible Church. He, or the new pastor of Southwood, will be speaking later today. But Dan is now a missionary in Liberia, he and Pat. Mark Perkins, the pastor of Front Range Bible Church in Denver. Dr. Grant Richeson with Campus Crusade for Christ in Canada. And then Warren Dowd himself. So, let's go to Africa. Just to give you an overview, you're going to see a map come up here in just a second. And this is more of an overview. We'll get into some specifics, but you can see up in Kenya, Uganda, which I added, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, and South Africa. Each one of these represents training centers, okay? But we're going to drill down into some of these countries to show you that there's a lot more than that. Some of them are still proposed, but most of them are ongoing. Let's see. I guess I need to... there we go. Back to the... Let's look at just the map of Uganda and see what's going on in Uganda itself. Can you see Kampala? It's a little bit hard to see the border, but you could just see this proliferation. The dark ones are ones that are existing. The lighter colored are the ones that are proposed. And it will, most of them starting in the next 2 or 3 months. And so we've just seen an explosion, not the least of which is some of the missionary effort that's been going on with VMI through Moses, Kamugisha, or whatever his name is. Boy, these African names, I'll just skip over them in the languages too. It's tough for me. I'm an Okie, so I mean, it's really hard for me. But you can see how this has just exploded. Most of these have all started in 2013, just this year. So let me give you a flavor for Freddie Mutebi and Gerald Mabalari, who are some of the training directors in Uganda. Now, for a guy like me... Uganda. God's really put Uganda front and center in my life for some reason, because all I could ever remember about Uganda was Idi Amin. And he was a bad guy, and like he was a cannibal or something, you know. I'm glad he's gone, but that's a country that's had a lot of war and strife. And now the light of the Word of God is being shown into this African country, and it is just exploding with these trading centers. So, here you see a picture, and I want to share with you a letter that I have from Freddie. This letter is dated May the 16th, and he started a training center May the 6th with 16 students in Kampala, Uganda. Now, I had to edit this just a little bit to make it flow a little bit better, but he's writing this to Warren Dowd to give him an update of this training center. I'm supremely happy to tell you that I started teaching 2 weeks ago and the class is running on smoothly. My students are divided into two groups. In the church, the class is held on Wednesday and Friday. The other class is held on Saturday, and there are many people joining this weekend class. Many of them are workers, so the convenient time is weekends. I'm enjoying the program. This is what I dreamt of, equipping the saints. Thanks very much about thinking about giving Bibles to students. This has also made classes interesting, I would hope. Some students have shared with us that they have been fearing to share the gospel because they thought they needed to have known some verses in the Bible. Well, you know. Now they feel it as an opportunity. Here we have been preaching prosperity sermons. That's his word, I guess the prosperity gospel. And these do not establish saints in the Word. But now this program is opening our eyes to teach the Word. This is the light of God shining into this darkness. And the truth, because it's the Holy Spirit who's our teacher, the Spirit is the one who reveals this truth into the hearts of believers here in Uganda and all over the world. It rings true, and we understand that. When we hear the truth of the Word of God, when we don't hear the truth of the Word of God, we feel like we're drying up on the inside, don't we? Or there's an angst. Wait, what? That doesn't sound right. Same thing happening over here. My friend Dowd, members of my church like this training, and we've been very few coming for Bible study during the week. But when I started teaching these lessons in the church, many came to attend. There is a fire for studying the Word. Ooh, he puts, exclamation part. I like that. And then he says, this is interesting. So here's a pastor who had not been teaching. He'd been teaching the prosperity. He'd been listening to what he'd heard on the internet. They hear a constant barrage of prosperity gospel and I'm surrounded by it in Tulsa. A lot of Pentecostal and lots of that, lots of garbage. And so when he gets down to the meat of the Word, it's like it set his whole congregation on fire. And we understand that, don't we? I mean, you should get excited about it, because I certainly do. Well, that's Freddie Mutebi, and that's a little bit about Uganda. Just as an aside, one of the things that I do every week is lead a home Bible study in my house. I've been doing that for 3.5 years. I do verse-by-verse teaching. I use Grace Notes to help supplement my study. My principal study is the Word of God. I've been trained for years and years and years, went through a formal training program, and I've just figured that wherever God planted me, that's where I need to be functioning. And so that's what I've been doing. Would I have ever, ever considered that there would be a believer from Uganda in my home? No. Never entered my mind. This is part of the greater grace of God. It's always beyond anything we could ever conceive, because our God is incomprehensible, basically. Not just once, but 3 times I've had a Ugandan pastor come and in my home to fellowship, to speak, to have dinner. I was just blown away, absolutely blown away. The first time, I just couldn't believe it. Wow, that's how God works. That's how God works. He's, you know, I didn't go to Uganda. He sent the Ugandan to me. Well, I learned something more about Uganda than Idi Amin. Well, that's Uganda. And here's another picture of them, a great tie-in for VMI. Now they have their Bibles, their Grace Notes that they're studying, and the Foundation Study by Drew Freeman. That's this group, and because there's a lot of work being done in Uganda with village ministries. Now let's switch to Kenya. I'm going to have to really hump it here. Okay. Let's focus on Kenya for just a moment. Is anyone here familiar with the Maasai tribe? Just a few. They're the tall. They jump a lot. We see them jumping with their spears. They're considered to be formidable warriors, and they are total social outcasts in Kenya. And most of them are illiterate. But through apostle, and they do this. This is something that you see. They're all apostles. And we just kind of push that aside, you know. Hey, he's doing God's work here. Benny Mbai, okay? And Benny he's just prolific with these Bible training centers, and he's taken it to the Maasai people in Kenya. Let me give you a feel for this one. This is going to be a challenge because I am over 50, so let's see if I can read this. All right, this is from Benny Mbai from Kenya about this Maasai tribe and reaching them with grace notes. Allow me to begin with apologies. He's writing to Warren. I've been silent. A lot has been happening, but all is well. The Maasai program went on successfully with about 30-plus people in attendance, but we had a situation I've never come across. Out of the number of women, youth, and men in attendance, we had about 45% totally illiterate. They can't speak or write any English or Swahili word. They can only speak their mother tongue, which is Maasai. They can't even read or write anything in their original tongue. So we were forced to look for an interpreter into Swahili as I taught. But there was this team that can only hear Maasai only, and they cannot write. So I divided the team into two, and we sought on among them to minister to the special case team. Me, I took the main team. We gave a few Bibles because I had English and Swahili, but 60% of the participants, even those who know English, preferred a Maasai Bible more than the English or the Swahili Bible. So he's having a problem communicating. From the illiterate group, about 10 with two pastors, and then he puts in parenthesis, imagine a pastor who can't read or write nothing, including his mother tongue. End of parenthesis. Can you imagine that? And he's trying to lead these people. My. This group told me, one after the other, we don't know how you developed a burden for forsaken herdsmen like us. We are cultural outcasts, but you must help us. This is what they're saying. This is an initial group. These people are crying out, totally forgotten, even in Kenya, outcast, and probably for some of their practices and the fact that they are fierce warriors traditionally. He said that he broke into tears in front of these people. I just, every time I read that statement, I just, it gets to me fundamentally. So that's enough about that. We get the feel for the impact and how this online ministry is having such an impact in a place in a forgotten culture like the Maasai. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's the greater grace of God, beyond our wildest imagination. And how it sat there for years and years, grace notes out there. But in 2013, it's when it just exploded. So here's a group of this. Two of these would be pastors, I take it. And I would suspect that most of the people in this picture are illiterate, only able to speak Maasai. Next, we have a Zimbabwe class. And see over here. This is Masuli Nkomo, and he started his training center back in March the 15th. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am sure you're progressing well in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a progress report of the work and ministry we're doing here in Zimbabwe. First of all, I would like to thank you and appreciate the work you are doing in Zimbabwe and in Africa at large of developing leaders in different nations with these powerful and life-transforming resources. This is not in vain. We are seeing the fruits of this wonderful work. His church has, he's an Assembly of God pastor, and he has a church of about 150 people. And he meets on Wednesday nights, among other things. And he said, but due to the background of doing Bible studies on Wednesday nights, it became easy for our people to accept and be willing to be part of the Grace Notes program. This program has brought richness and more meaning to our Bible studies and understanding of the Word of God. This has given the church the zeal to read and study the Word of God more and more. We have seen also the number of people increasing in our Bible studies since all the people want the program and are very much excited about it. Their main challenge is a lack of Bibles and some who walk a long distance to come and study, and with others during these midweek lessons. The issue of Bibles, he was happy because we were able to send over some Bibles to them. And then he goes on and say that there's travel and transportation problems, as you can imagine, and sometimes they even have to feed the people when they come in, not every time. He also, the Lord has laid out a prison ministry on his heart, and so he's reaching out to 5 prisons in his area as well, and he's using the Grace Notes ministry for that. Malawi is another one, another training session, and we'll just kind of skip over that, and also Zambia. And these are the pictures that absolutely got to my wife, Joy, who's CEF trained, Child Evangelism Fellowship, and has been trained by her mother as a preteen down in Louisiana, and she's still doing that today. She went to Belize this year. When she sees children that need to be evangelized, that's where God convicts her. And she'll go anywhere. That's the first time my wife had said, I want to go to Africa. I've been. And I told her, boy, I want to take you back. You just got to experience this. But it was when she saw this Zambian orphan picture that she said, I hope that God leads me to Zambia because she will evangelize and teach these children. She's prepared and ready and willing to go. So, what are our goals? We are in a transition period with Grace Notes. None of us reach retirement in the Christian life and our Christian service. There's no concept of that. Moses just went on up the mountain and God took him, right? I mean, he was right up to the end and God gave him strength and the energy to complete the task. And that's a cultural thing in our country, retirement, those types of things. But the reality is that you do slow down. And there is a time and a place. And so I think we're kind of entering into a transition phase with Grace Notes. And so what are some of our goals? When we see this kind of an opportunity in front of us, and it just begs the question, what are we going to do? Well, one thing, we need to send trained people here over to see what's going on and make sure that everything is running decently and in order, that sort of thing. No, but there's not a lot of money changing hands here, but they can get way off base. And so there needs to be some oversight. There needs to be encouragement. I would point out to you that not only do you need to be an encouragement, but you will receive more encouragement than you could possibly ever give back. So you need to be encouraged and go over there. We need to start new training centers in Tanzania, Uganda, more in Uganda, there's already tons, and 4 others. And in fact, that's all in the works as we speak. Kenya is an area. We talked about the Maasai, but there are many other places in Kenya that need these training centers. And then we need to expand our participation with other local churches. This has been a ministry of Austin Bible Church. It's time to take this out to the people who have this form of teaching especially. Now, when I came back from Ghana, I want to tell you one story, personal story, an eyewitness story. I went out into the village after teaching these pastors, and we went out to do evangelism in the villages outside of Accra. And these people lived in this straw huts. Children are running around naked. It's just everything you've ever seen in National Geographic. And we go out there, and we had your coins, or the coins that you were talking about. And it was interesting. They would take them. We came back the next day, and they'd drilled a hole in them, and they were all wearing them as jewelry. Well, you know, that's okay. But we were evangelizing, open-air evangelism in these villages, and I met one of the local village pastors. And Pastor Gabriel. And this man was leading about 50 people. I want to just get to this point. This man had I asked him to turn to some verses because we were sharing the gospel with people. Would you turn to this verse? He couldn't turn to certain passages. He didn't have a complete Bible. Here was a man who had bits and pieces of a worn and tattered Bible, but at least he had that, and he was teaching that. And I can tell you, being a longtime Bible church member, teacher, deacon, whatever role that I ever played, there was one thing that I knew, that my Bible is my most important possession that I own. It's very special to me. And it's not the notes that I put in it. It's the fact that God has chosen to reveal to me the deeper truths that are found in the Word of God. And it's allowed, it's changed and transformed my life. I'm not the same person that I used to be. And so this man, he didn't even have a whole Bible. So I came back and I'm just, you know, on fire. And where can I speak? And I spoke first at Southwood, and then I talked to my mom, and she's a Baptist, so I spoke to her ladies' Sunday school class. And so in that, those two places alone, I raised more than enough money to get him a study Bible and to get every member of his church a Bible. Because I promised, I said, I'm going to do this. And I did it. And so at least he could have a Bible with which to lead his church. And I think we see that. So we send Bibles. We see the need, especially with these training centers. They need a Bible. And our goal is to get every pastor a study Bible and every graduate their own Bible by the time they graduate, and we're behind. All right, what does it cost? These are just estimates, but and we don't support really humanitarian needs. This is a spiritually based ministry, but we do from time to time to support these training centers. There's computers, paper, ink, printers that need to be purchased, one-time purchases, that sort of thing. And what we're currently contributing to these is about $1,200 a month, and we need to up that by $2,000 a month. Translation work is big because you got a feel for that in some of these letters. Not everyone speaks English. So we need an ongoing translation effort, and there is an ongoing translation effort. You can go to the website and see exactly, and look at the notes yourself. You can look at it in all these African languages. It's being done, and it's a way for us to help support some of these people because we pay per page for that translation work. And once it's done, it's done, and we've got it. And it's a wonderful kind of a side ministry. We're currently spending $200 a month. We are looking for $750 a month. And then we're 700 Bibles behind today, roughly $10 a piece, so that need is $7,000. And then this support for logistical support, currently we're not really doing that at all, but to assist with the transportation needs that some of these pastors have, $400 a month. So I've gone over. I was supposed to have 45 minutes, and I think I took a little over 30 minutes. Not bad. Okay. Well, you've got the website up there. You've got some contact information. Warren is still the director of Grace Notes. You could contact me. You can contact Bob, any of us, if you would like to consider going to being part of that team that we need to go over. Our goal is to go over sometime next summer, I believe. It's just our plan. We don't know what God is going to do to order our steps, but I trust He will. I think He'll honor that. And you can contact any one of us. And I also will have a handout for you if you would like, and I guess I'll just do that at the break. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your grace. We say Your grace provision, and that's true. You provide for everything for us, whether we need it or not, and whether we deserve it or not. And Father, I'm constantly struck by Your greater grace and how You reveal your plans to us from time to time. I just want to thank you for this Grace Notes ministry, the impact that it's having with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. I just pray that we would, as doctrinal believers, that we would consider what our role, if any, should be. And so we just want to thank you. Continue to bless this time at this pastor's conference and all the speakers. And I am grateful for the Austin Bible Church for opening up their building and allowing us to speak. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.